When a person presents to the emergency room with chest pain, a battery of tests and monitoring are done to determine if the patient is experiencing a heart attack. For some patients, these tests are not conclusive, but doctors are reluctant to let them return home without further testing. Doctors at William Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan, published in the February 27th Journal of the American College of Cardiology the first randomized scientific study comparing CT angiography with the standard testing approach to chest pain diagnosis. Joining us today to talk about CT angiography and the results of this study is Dr. James Goldstein, Director of Cardiology Research and Medical Education at William Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan, and from the west side of the river. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What is the standard of care right now for a patient presenting to the emergency room with chest pain suspected to be cardiac in nature?
Well, let me first put the problem into perspective. It's one of the most common clinical challenges that every emergency room physician and practitioner faces is to evaluate folks who come in with chest pain or other complaints like shortness of breath where there's concern that one potential diagnosis may be a heart attack. In many of those patients, the diagnosis becomes obvious by looking at the electrocardiogram or sometimes a blood test, but in a very substantial number of patients who come in, they have symptoms that are suspicious but not diagnostic, and there are a lot of other diseases that can produce similar symptoms. And because heart attack has such potential calamitous complications, we really strive for 100% perfection in achieving a timely and accurate diagnosis. So when a patient comes in with chest pain, if they initially have a normal exam and their EKG and blood tests for heart damage are normal, the standard of care is to put them through what's called a rule-out myocardial infarction protocol, where they typically get a series of electrocardiograms and blood tests over 8 to 12 hours. And if those are normal, then the individual will undergo a stress test with an imaging study, sometimes a stress nuclear study or a stress echocardiogram, which will then provide information as to whether or not the symptoms they came in with are likely to be attributable to a narrowed artery.
Are there any specific factors or limitations inherent in these particular tools that are used now to diagnose MI in the emergency room? And if so, what are the sensitivities and specificities of these particular types of procedures?
Well, the serial EKGs and blood tests are not all that sensitive. They're fine when they turn out to be abnormal and you are pretty sure that there's something bad going on. But in the very substantial number of patients who come in whose initial EKG and blood tests are normal and the next couple of sets are, then you do a stress test. And by and large, the stress tests are very helpful. They're about 85 to 90% predictive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're very positive, then most of those patients, when they end up in the cath lab, do have disease, and that's what the cause of their symptoms were. But there are certainly patients in whom the stress test is misleading. Sometimes the stress test suggests there's a problem and the arteries are fine. Sometimes the stress test suggests that everything's fine, but in fact, there is something evil brewing. So they're not perfect. And what's more than that is that they're not definitive. So if a patient comes in, they go through the whole workup, get their stress test, which can take anywhere. The entire process may take 12 to 24 hours. And the stress test is normal. Then the physician is left with the scenario of telling the patient, well, I don't think your chest pain is due to your heart. And the patient says, well, what do you mean you don't think?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I'm pretty sure. The patient says, what do you mean pretty sure? He says, well, I'm confident we can let you go home. The patient says, well, what do I do if I get the chest pain again? And the doctor says, well, you'll need to come to the office, or if it's rest, come back to the emergency room. We'll have to do further testing. So the problem with stress testing is if the symptoms recur, the stress test is not definitive. And so those patients may end up ultimately, at least some of them, with an invasive heart catheterization to determine whether or not the arteries are diseased, and if there are blockages, whether or not they were likely to explain the original symptoms to begin with. So we've been searching for a more efficient, more definitive, and ultimately more accurate way to determine the presence or absence of disease, particularly for these patients who present to the emergency room.
So I would imagine that these were some of the reasons that led you to conduct your present study.
Precisely. There was a huge opportunity. When CT angiography came to the clinical arena, we were one of the first institutions in the United States to have one of the very sophisticated multi-slice scanners. And when I saw the pictures it produced, I was astounded at the striking quality of the angiogram, which heretofore I had never been able to see other than by doing an invasive catheterization. And as soon as I saw the first pictures when it was installed, I felt that one of the immediate potential applications would be for sorting out the issue of what caused chest pain when it presents to the emergency room, because a significant number of those patients have arteries that are fine. And if you could rapidly determine that the arteries are normal, which you can very accurately do with a CT, then that patient would have a definitive diagnosis that the heart was not the problem. They could go home, and if they had continued symptoms, then other diagnoses that were less life-threatening could be pursued.
What is inherent in the pathophysiology or cause of coronary artery disease that the CT angiography uses to its advantage?
Well, coronary artery disease is a buildup of fatty plaque in the wall of the blood vessel. Blood vessel is a tube or a pipe that is the fuel line to the heart, supplies the heart with red blood with oxygen that the heart muscle needs to do its work. And as we adults get older, we develop fatty plaque buildup in many situations, and that's particularly true not only with age but other risk factors like high cholesterol, smoking, diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, family history. And as the plaques build up, they ultimately may begin to narrow the blood vessel opening, kind of like a clogged pipe in a sink in the kitchen. And when it gets to the point where it clogs it severely, then it may limit the flow of blood to the heart muscle, and that can cause chest discomfort. In addition, it's important to know that these fatty buildups of plaque, they may occur slowly over time and slowly and steadily over time, but an area of early fatty buildup may suddenly become complicated by inflammation and a fissuring or ulceration of that area in the artery, leading to the abrupt formation of a clot, so that a relatively minor narrowing can suddenly become unstable and cause a heart attack, or if the individual is very unlucky, an abnormal heart rhythm and sudden death due to the formation of a clot on top of an inflamed, unstable plaque.
What was the study design? How did you take this forward to look and see the how effective the CT angiography would be in that emergency room situation?
We identified patients coming to our emergency room who had no prior history of heart disease, who came in with symptoms that were suspicious for a possible heart attack, whose initial EKG and blood work were normal. And so by defining this, what we call low-risk group, we took out of the equation patients who had a known history of prior coronary artery disease, prior stents or angioplasty, prior bypass surgery, in whom the CT test isn't really all that helpful because you already know they're going to have disease, and you might find a lot of mild narrowings or moderate narrowings and don't know whether they're necessarily the cause of chest pain. So we took the more narrow group of low-risk patients with no prior disease and initially normal EKG, which is, by the way, a very substantial majority of the cases. Mm-hmm. And we randomized them to the routine or standard evaluation with serial EKGs and blood tests followed by a stress test versus an immediate CT angiogram. And then based on the results of the CT, we would let the patients go immediately home if it was normal. If they had severe disease, they would go to the catheterization laboratory. And if they had intermediate levels of narrowings, we might do a stress test. And then based on the results of stress tests in both groups, we would proceed with discharge or further evaluation depending on the results.
Now, with respect to those results, how did the CT angio compare to the other arm of the study, and specifically when measuring the sensitivities of each procedure or each arm of the study, how did that fare?
Well, the beauty of the CT as exemplified in our study was that we were able to very rapidly determine the cause of chest pain in 75% of the patients as either being unrelated to the heart because the arteries are fine and those patients went right home and did very well and had a definitive diagnosis and needed very little further testing. In about 10% of the patients, we found severe disease, and it was obvious that they needed to go urgently to the heart catheterization laboratory to get an angiogram and get their arteries fixed. So in 75% of the cases, 3 out of 4 patients, we immediately knew that the heart either was or was not the cause. In about 25% or 1 out of 4 other patients, either the scan was not of sufficient quality to be able to make a definitive diagnosis and we had to do further testing such as a stress test, or we found some disease, but it wasn't clear whether that disease was responsible for the symptoms, so we also had to do further testing either with a stress test or an angiogram. That compared favorably. Those patients did very well with comparisons to the standard group. The standard approach is also very accurate overall. The problem is it takes a long time, and what we were able to show is that by doing the immediate CT angiogram, we reduce the time to diagnosis by 75%, and we reduce the costs for evaluation by 15%. The study was too small to really make a determination as to whether or not there was a better ability of CT scanning to achieve a definitive diagnosis in terms of fewer patients coming back for repeat testing, but there was a trend toward that, and future studies will be necessary in larger groups of patients to determine whether or not one of the benefits of CT will also be not only a rapid and less expensive evaluation, but also a more definitive diagnosis, and I think that'll be the case.
Have there been any concerns expressed about radiation dosage with regards to using this technique? I ask this because it tends to be a question asked by our listeners when they hear about CTs or X-rays. And just to give a bit of an idea of what the dose of radiation is when the procedure is done.
It's about the same amount of radiation as somebody would get with a regular heart catheterization. So it's not something you'd want to have every day. Mm-hmm. It's not something you'd want to have once a year. Although even if you did, I think the likelihood of harm would be low. But as an uncommonly used test in an individual, the amount of radiation, right, I feel clinically is not significant. I don't think it imposes a significant risk. You know, we have patients with heart disease who get catheterizations and angioplasties of their heart, of their carotid arteries, of their legs, of other parts of their body. They're getting all kinds of radiation throughout a 10, 15, 20-year period of their disease. And we don't ignore the issue of radiation, but I don't know of a single report of a patient developing cancer because they had a couple of heart catheterizations or other types of radionuclear studies. So I think that radiation is always an issue to think about. I don't think that the amount of radiation from a single CT angiogram is going to be clinically significant in anybody. Now, that said, we've instituted a protocol here where we're now using CT angiography routinely for evaluation of chest pain, but because of the sensitivity to the radiation issue, we think that there are some patients who probably ought not to get CT angiography and to use alternative testing. For instance, younger women who come in, say age 30, 35, 40, who do develop chest pain syndromes and where there's enough of a concern to want to work it up, I think radiating the chest and exposing the breast tissue to radiation doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
Again, I don't know of any data that says that those individuals would be at higher risk for complications like breast cancer, and I really think it's extremely unlikely that they would. But there are other alternatives, such as doing stress echocardiograms, which have no radiation at all. So I think in that situation, I think avoiding the X-ray exposure makes sense.
Now, you mentioned further studies. Are you planning to have any larger trials? As you mentioned earlier, that the study was a bit small to make a generalized conclusion. So are there going to be larger trials to really look at the issue of speed of diagnosis, accuracy, and also as potentially screening for disease in patients who are presenting with chest pain?
Yes, there's a tremendous amount of work going on around the world in terms of various applications of this technology for various situations. With respect to the chest pain issue we studied, our study was, I think, a very high-quality study, and the data very persuasive, but it was the first step, not the last step. And so there are multi-center studies that are being planned, and they're about to get underway. I know of one for sure that we're involved with. I assume that there are probably many more. So I think over the next couple of years, you'll see a lot of data come out that'll be addressing similar issues to what we studied, and I don't want to presuppose what the data will be, but I'd be surprised if it doesn't support our findings, but it'll show whatever it shows. But we should see a lot of data in the future regarding the strengths and the limitations of this type of test for a variety of situations, including screening of adults, screening of high-risk patients like diabetics, and a variety of other situations.
Dr. Goldstein, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about CT angiography, also providing a really great background of coronary artery disease and how this applies to the assessment of chest pain in patients. And I'd like to follow up on this when the larger studies that you're conducting have concluded, just to keep track and see how things are going.
Be happy to chat with you anytime.
All the best.
Take care.